Over the last couple of weeks, I've been asking the question, how do you build a great life and a great church? And I've suggested that we need at least two things to start off with, and over these 5 weeks, I'm going to suggest there are five things, and we're in week three. So first of all, I suggested that we need relationships, that we need a relationship with God and relationships with other people. We need to get connected to God and then to his church. People who are also connected to God become like our family and support us as we go through life. Secondly, we need to then deepen the foundations of our lives by building on God's word, the word of God, the Bible, which feeds our minds, restores our soul, gives joy to our hearts. And we won't go the distance of life without that foundation being really solid. So those were the first 2 weeks. And today we come to the third thing which we need, which is to invest our lives in serving others, service, ministry, giving back, those sorts of words. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians that we are God's workmanship. God has made us, and we are created in Christ Jesus for what reason? To do good works, which amazingly God has prepared in advance for us not to think about, but to do. So God has made us to do good things. That's how we're made. We actually have this inner urge to do worthwhile, valuable things that help people, help others. So don't be surprised if you feel dissatisfied with life when all you're doing is taking. That's not how you're made. You're made to give. You're made to invest yourself in others, to make a difference, to serve, to be involved in ministry. That's how God has made you. And Jesus tells us a bit about this in the parable that we had read. And I'd just like to draw some principles out of that. At the end of this, what I'd like to ask, if we have time, is why are you doing what you're doing? Lots of people have got commissioned this morning. There are lots of others who didn't get commissioned who are all involved in doing good things because of what God has led you to do. And if we get time, I'd like to ask a few of you just to say why you're doing it. The first principle from this parable is that God owns everything. It's the principle of ownership. And in the story, we get told that some servants have been entrusted with the master's property for a time. So God gives us lots of things, families, homes, jobs, aspirations, desires of our hearts, money, safety, time. God gives them to us. They're gifts. And for a time, we are stewards, guardians of them. And the fun part is we get to use them. The warning is don't ever think they're yours. You won't take them with you when you go. And don't be stingy or miserable with them. You know, they're God's. He gave them to you so you can use them for other good purposes. Second principle is that God has given us all unique talents. In the story, a talent is an amount of money. And it says in verse 15, to one, that's God in the story representing God, he gave five talents, to another two, another one, each according to his ability. The amount differs with each individual, but everybody gets something. Today, a talent simply means the natural abilities and gifts that God has given you. Some of you are very musically talented, some mathematically, some mechanically. Some of you are very good with people. God bless you. Some of you are good with political process, planning, procedures. Others with puppets, play, and performance. Some people are incredibly gifted, others more modestly gifted. But note in the story, there are no talent people. Everybody gets given something. You may say, I don't have any talents. Well, that's not true. What it may mean is you just haven't quite discovered them yet. Third principle is about accountability. God expects us to use our talents. He wants us to make the most of the abilities he's given us. Now, I've been wondering why. Why does God hold us accountable? It's quite clear in the story. The master comes back and holds them accountable. Why is God like that with us? And I think that's to do with grace. In Romans, it tells us that the gifts are gifts of grace that God gives to us. And I think he holds us accountable because it's like this. God says to Peter, Peter, here are some gifts for you. By grace, I'm giving them to you. And then he holds me accountable because he wants me to pass them on, to bless others. He's blessing me so that I will bless others. He's giving to me so that I can give to others. It's all grace, isn't it? I don't earn it. I don't deserve it. So he wants me to pass it on. And he holds me accountable for that. Jesus tells us in verse 19 that after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled the accounts. So one day God will ask you, what did you do with what I gave you? And one of the things about this church is we want to prepare you to stand before God and say, I did the best I could. I used them for your purposes. We want to give you opportunities to serve and invest. We want to encourage you not to just take, but to be givers. In the story, two servants do well, but a third is called wicked and lazy because he buried his talent. Most of us, when we think of the word wicked, think of horrible things, terrible crimes. God says it's wicked not to use your talents. That's pretty strong, isn't it? And you see at the end of the story, with the judgment on this wicked servant, how serious it is if you don't use your talents. Now, I think many of you are serving in all sorts of capacities. And for some of you, it may be that you are too thinly spread already and you need to reorder your life. For some others, you're sitting on the sidelines of church and life. And it may be that at this minute, you might be a bit bored. There's no spark, no enthusiasm in your life. And the challenge there is not to waste your talents, to get back in the game, find a service opportunity, and offer yourself for service. Thanks, Rob. When you invest yourself willingly and freely into other people, you'll start to gain a new pleasure in life because, going back to the start, this is how you've been made. You're made to give. And you'll receive great joy as you do it. Now, I come to the fourth principle on motivation. I know there are many reasons we can give for not using our talents to serve, but the one that is mentioned in this story is fear. The man who buried his talent in verse 25 said, I was afraid and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. I've underlined afraid and hid. It's fear that causes us to hide. It's always been that way since Adam and Eve tried to hide from God because they were fearful of his judgment in Genesis 3. I'll say that again. Fear makes us hide. Fear makes us bury our talents and will rob you of joy. We all have these little voices that go on in our heads saying, I could never do that. What will people think? What if I fail? What if it doesn't work? We all have those going around in our head, don't we? You know who gets the greatest pleasure out of seeing you give in to your fears? It's the great accuser, isn't it? If I can just speak these lies into this person, I'll stop them using those talents that God gave them and I'll nullify their impact. I'll reduce their influence. Very crafty, isn't it? So one of the things we need to do at church and in our small groups is to pray for one another, to pray that the Holy Spirit will give people courage and will empower them to do the things that God has put inside them to do. And then when you share those fears with your small group or come after church and pray or with your friends through the week, when you share those fears and say, look, I think God is calling me to step out in some way, but I'm just not, I really feel a bit wary and anxious and cautious about this. When you start to pray then, and people can see how God might change you over some time, and you then step into some role, it gives great joy to all these people who've been praying for you, because they know what you've gone through just to get there. And then they're encouraging you in prayer as they see you take up that responsibility. Some people think that because they've failed in the past, they are no good. It's a fear that comes into us that I've failed in the past, I'm not going to be good enough, or I've had a moral failure, so I'm not worthy enough. Well, just to remind you, think of Peter, one of the closest friends of Jesus. He failed Jesus right at a critical moment. Now, what did he do, Peter? Did he crawl away from life and hide under a rock and say, I'm never ever going to step out again? No, he didn't, did he? He left Jesus, he wept bitterly, he repented, he was so distressed with what he'd done, but he repented and he went back to Jesus. And Jesus forgave him and said, now I can use you. And Peter's amazing life of service, the road to that life of service, was directly through his failure. Think of Moses, a murderer, God cleaned him up and used him. David, an adulterer, God cleaned him up and used him. Rahab, a prostitute, God used Jonah, a runaway and a poor swimmer. God used him. You get the point, don't you? Just to make the point even more. It's $50 Australian for those of you who are visitors. Who would like the $50 Australian? Come on. Who would like $50 Australian? Of course, everyone does. Now, who would like it? Okay. I hope this is not illegal. Who would like it? Sometimes in life we get dropped and stomped on, crumpled up, stuffed away. But in God's eyes, we never lose our value. That is still $50. We never, ever lose our value. In God's eyes, even if you have failed, God can take you and clean you up, straighten you out, and point you in a direction where you can do good things that he's prepared for you to do. God has given you talents. Don't let fear rob you of this. It's one of life's greatest pleasures to serve God and serve his people. When you do that, we get to the rewards. Now, the first reward is a warning. The first result is a warning. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. The master says, take the talent from him and the one who buried it and give it to the one who has 10 talents. Now, I really struggle with this, but it seems like if you don't use your talent, God will take it away. And in a human terms, I think it just wastes away. It just disappears. You might be good with people and you just don't engage. You just withdraw and that talent just sort of dissipates. You might be good with children and you just don't get involved and it just dissipates. So if you don't use it, you lose it and you'll miss out and others will miss out. And that would be tragic. And the great reward comes in verse 23. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. What a great reward. There are three aspects to the reward in there. You get affirmation from God himself. Well done, good and faithful servant. You get promotion. You've done something well with a small, and now you get a promotion. I was saying to Karen during the week, I got commissioned. Karen, isn't it interesting to look back in how you've changed over the years? Once upon a time, you were a member of GFS. Now you're a leader of GFS. Once upon a time, you were helping to run our children's holiday program. Now you're the sort of second leader, and Don's going to make her almost the key leader this year. Once upon a time, you were just one of the kids. Now you are the children's ministry trainee, training to be a primary school teacher. You see, God has sort of slowly encouraged her as she's used her gifts. And the third bit about this reward is the celebration. Come and share your master's happiness. You get to party with God, and God likes a party. You've used your gifts, God is thrilled, people are served, the blessings are flowing, and God says, come and join your master's happiness. This is fantastic. I am so thrilled. I've invested in you, and you've invested in others. This is how it should be. And I get the impression that when we're using our God-given talents to serve others, we bring Father God great pleasure. Now, if you would like to take up contact, please, this is for those of you who are members of this church, just want to finish by drawing your attention to page 2, where there are loads of opportunities for service. Many of you are already involved, many of you have already been commissioned, but some of you might be sitting there going, this is the first time I've really realised I need to be part of this, part of being involved somehow. There are many, many opportunities. Those are just some. Every Sunday in contact, there will be others that come up. You respond and get involved as best you can. Next term, during term 2, our youth ministry will focus on serving. And during that term, I'm going to run a number of seminars on discovering your gifts for those who are not sure how God has gifted them. So look forward to that in term 2.